The portion of God's word that we'll focus on this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're 14 days in. How are yours going? Your 2018 resolutions, that is. It took some of you a little bit of time to figure out what I was talking about. That's not a very good sign. The last couple of weeks, as I was thinking about resolutions, I realized that a lot of times the resolutions that people make require them to sacrifice good things from their lives. Think about it. Someone resolves to get to the gym and work out more often. And they have to sacrifice an hour of sleep to do so. And that warm, cozy bed feels really good at 5 a.m. when the alarm goes off. Someone resolves to eat healthier. But have you ever been to Taco Bell at 10 p.m. at night? It is so good. Someone resolves that they're going to spend their money more wisely. But isn't it a good, exciting feeling when the UPS guy comes with 4 Amazon packages with your name on it? So if that's the case, then why would we do that? Why would people make resolutions that require them to sacrifice good things? I mean, if resolutions only required us to sacrifice bad things, well, that would make a lot more sense, right? Be a lot easier to keep them. I resolve this year to stop getting in car accidents. I resolve this year to stop stepping on my kids' Lego pieces while barefoot. Those would be easy to keep, right? Because they're things that we want to avoid. They're things that we don't like. But sacrificing good things, well, that's a lot harder. So why do it? You probably realize that people are willing to sacrifice good things in their lives for the sake of something or some things that they've deemed to be better than those good things that they have to sacrifice. Things like a smaller waistline, or lower cholesterol, or more savings for college. But this isn't just a principle that applies to New Year's resolutions. It's a spiritual principle too. Today in our worship, we hear Jesus calling, "Come, follow me." Are you willing to sacrifice more than just the bad things in your life to do so? If God requires, are you even willing to sacrifice the good things in your life in order to follow Jesus? It's a challenging question, but it doesn't have to be a troubling one. Because when we sacrifice the good things in our life for the sake of following Jesus, we're simply sacrificing the good for the best. And in our sermon today, we see that kind of attitude being displayed by a man named Elisha. Elisha and Elijah are two prophets who served God during one of the most difficult periods of Israel's history. The period of the kings, somewhere in 9th century BC. And it was an especially difficult time to be one of God's prophets because a common descriptor of almost all of the kings of Israel in that day were this: he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. These wicked, unbelieving kings, one after the other, were all leading God's people away from their covenant God and to idols and unbelief. And so God kept sending his messengers, his prophets like Elijah and Elisha, with a message of repentance, aimed to turn these kings and citizens away from their idolatry and back to following God again. But not surprisingly, wicked and unbelieving kings weren't too excited when God's prophets came to call out their wickedness. And so oftentimes we see these prophets dying for their message. Does that sound like a job that you'd be willing to sacrifice everything to have? Things got especially bad for Elijah under the rule of King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. At one point, as he is fleeing for his life from these wicked rulers, he sort of stops And he laments to God, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Elijah felt alone, as if he was the only one left who was still following the one true God. And maybe there have been times in your life that you've felt that way too. At work, at school, maybe even in your own family. But at the point when Elijah hits rock bottom, God brings him back up again. He assures Elijah that there were still thousands of believers left besides him in Israel. And having reinvigorated Elijah with his promises, God sends him back out again to continue doing the work God had called him to do, commanding him as he leaves to anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. And so from there, Elijah went and found Elisha. He, that is Elisha, was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. It's pretty obvious as we meet Elisha here that this is a guy who has a lot of good things going on in his life. First of all, he has enough oxen and equipment and hired workers that he can plow with 12 pairs of oxen. Secondly, that means that he had enough fields and land that he needed to plow with 12 pair of oxen. See, Elisha wasn't some poor one-man show, barely scraping by a living from his family's backyard garden. This was a wealthy and successful farmer who had a lot of really good things going for him in his life. But we also see that Elisha wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty and do the hard work himself, as he too is out in his own fields doing the plowing along with the hired workers. And that's a good thing, because God was about to call Elisha to a messy and difficult ministry as God's prophet. We're told that as Elisha is out plowing in the field, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Now to us that sounds really weird, right? You'd be really weirded out if some stranger came up to you on the street and just threw their jacket over you. But Elisha knew exactly what this meant. Just like the coronation of a new king or the jersey presentation at the NFL draft, Elisha knew that this new article of clothing that was given to him meant that God had new work for him to do. He also realized that meant that he was going to have to sacrifice a lot of the good things that he had in his life in order to pick up a dangerous, difficult ministry of being God's prophet. Seems like it'd be a pretty easy decision, right? Let's see. Should I set aside my comfortable life, my wealth, my family as a farmer so that I can become God's prophet and have to constantly fear for my life because of a wicked king and his crazy wife? For most people, that's a pretty easy choice, right? You have so many good things going on in your life. Why would you sacrifice that in order to follow God's calling? Do you know? God has called you too. Not by throwing a cloak over you, but by covering you in a robe of righteousness. At your baptism, as water was poured over your head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God covered you, and he called you to be his own. And yes, there at the font, he did not call you to leave your family behind or quit your job, but he did call you to leave behind your former sinful, unbelieving way of life. And he called you to give to him your body and your heart and your soul. But what if giving Jesus your body and your heart and your soul requires you to sacrifice the good things he's given to you in your life? Your job, your entertainment, your family, any of the things that you have deemed to be good in your life. Could you willingly sacrifice those things in order to follow Jesus? As Christians, We often acknowledge the need to sacrifice the bad things, the sinful things from our lives. And so, yes, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse or cheat on my taxes or cheat on a test like so many people do. And that's absolutely true. We need to sacrifice our sin in order to follow Jesus, to put that sin to death. But if we refuse to sacrifice the good things in our lives to follow Jesus, then they still become dangerous distractions. If I'm unwilling to sacrifice body-refreshing sleep for the sake of soul-refreshing worship, if we're unwilling to sacrifice relationship-building family game nights for the sake of faith-building family devotions, then those become dangerous distractions. And don't get me wrong, those are good things. Those are blessings that God has filled our lives with. But they can't be the best things in our lives. They can't take over in place of our spiritual lives. Because whether our stumbling block is something good or something that is bad and sinful, if that thing prevents us from following Jesus in our walk with Him, then they still trip us up and leave us flat on our faces. You see, that farm and those oxen and that equipment and those hired workers, those were all good blessings that God had given to Elisha. But if those had been the things that prevented him from following God's calling, then those beautiful blessings become cancerous curses. See, in a world that's striving for fulfillment and pleasure, sacrificing good things from your life sounds like crazy foolishness. But just like our resolutions, we can be willing to sacrifice something good for the sake of something better. We can sacrifice the good for the best. And that's why we see Elisha react the way that he does as he's standing there out in that field with Elijah's cloak wrapped around him. We're told Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will come with you." So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. Now, at first glance, it kind of sounds like Elisha is using the old, "Well, let me go say goodbye to my parents," stalling tactic. But when we see his actions, it reveals his heart. See, Elisha wasn't going home sulking or scheming how he could get out of this calling. Rather, he goes home and he throws an impromptu feast, literally sacrificing the good things of his former way of life in order to celebrate this new calling he'd received from God. He goes home and he makes a decisive break from his former livelihood so that he could carry out his new life as a prophet without distractions. See, he wouldn't need oxen or plows anymore. As God's prophet, all that he would need was the word of God. And so Elisha could joyfully follow God's calling and sacrifice all of those things because he knew that he wasn't just sacrificing good things for the sake of something slightly better. He was sacrificing good things for the very best thing. And Elijah reminded Elisha who it was that he was sacrificing for when he said to him, "Go back. What have I done to you?" He's reminding him that this wasn't a calling from Elijah. It was God that was calling Elisha. And it wasn't Elijah who was going to convince and pull him kicking and screaming into the ministry. It was God who had been shaping and molding his heart to be receptive and to hear this calling from God. And Elisha knew that every single one of those good things that he had in his life, those were gifts from God. And he was sacrificing those things for God. And so he could completely trust that as he sacrificed them for God, God was going to give him every good thing that he needed and more as he served God as his prophet. And in the same way, every single good thing that we have in our lives, they are blessings given to us by God. So will we be willing to sacrifice them, if required, in order to follow Jesus? Really, it comes down to a matter of priority, doesn't it? What is it that is best in your life? Because that is what you'll be willing to sacrifice for. And so all of us need to have an honest evaluation and to look at our hearts and see what is it that we have deemed to be best in our lives. And will we be willing to sacrifice for it? And that's not to say that we shouldn't enjoy good things that God has given to us, or that we should neglect the good things that God has given to us. But those things can't be the best things in our lives. And if we find that that's the case, then we need to take that to the foot of the cross and trust with confidence that Jesus has forgiven those sins too. You see, Elisha could have rejected God's call. He could have clung to his comfortable life, his wealth, his family, and rejected God's calling to be his prophet. But that comfortable life as a farmer, it wouldn't have lasted forever. Elisha knew that even if he had to sacrifice his livelihood or his family or even his very own life, it was worth it to follow God. Because as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the time is short, for this world in its present form is passing away. Eventually, every good thing in this world is going to pass away, come to an end. And so Elisha knew that following God was best, because he knew that through the faith that he had in the Savior God promised to send, he had the promise of life in the best of eternity. Eternity. Because that Savior that he trusted in didn't cling to good. Because that Savior, God's own Son, was willing to set aside the full use of his almighty power and his divine glory so that he could become a man. That man that we see standing at the shores of the Sea of Galilee, calling out to a bunch of inadequate fishermen to be his disciples, "Come, follow me." See, Jesus gave up the best in order to save the worst, so that he could stand there at the shores of the water of your baptism and call out to you, the worst of sinners, "Come, follow me." So that he could cloak you in a robe of his righteousness, so that he could mold and shape your heart to be receptive of that calling and to hear it and answer it in faith. Because you see, in Christ's eyes, that is best. You are best. You are the best thing, the thing worth sacrificing every good thing for, so that he could win eternal life for you and for the whole world. So the good things in your life, they're always going to be gracious blessings from God, things to enjoy, things to make use of. And maybe God will never call on you to sacrifice every good thing from your livelihood like he did for Elisha. But the gospel gives us a mindset that is willing to do so if faithfulness and God require it. And it's the gospel that molds and shapes our hearts so that we already have abandoned everything of this life for the sake of the next life. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let this be your resolution: to have a willingness to sacrifice all things, both the good and the bad, for the sake of following Jesus. Jesus, who sacrifices everything so that you might be his, so that you might be able to follow him. It is he who calls to you, "Come and follow me." So be willing to sacrifice it all. To sacrifice every temporary good for the sake of the one eternal best. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.